ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
There is a famous verse from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This particular verse was one of the most often quoted verses of our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The reason is, for a devotee who is aspiring to make advancement in spiritual life, the proper understanding of this verse in our day-to-day activities is most essential. The sloka is spoken by Lord Brahma. It took place during the famous Brahma Mohan Lila, where Lord Brahmaji was greatly bewildered by the divine potencies of Sri Krishna. You know the story, how Lord Brahma, forgetting the omnipotent supreme glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, tested him by stealing all the cows and the cowherd boys of Brajadham. He took them to a secret place, and 1 year later he came back to that place to see that all the cows and all the cowherd boys were still present, playing with one another as usual. In fact, this was because Lord Sri Krishna expanded himself personally to take the place of each of his friends. And then, as he was very much disturbed in mind, how can this possibly be? I am the supreme creator of this universe. How is it that I do not understand? He went back to that cave in which the boys were in mystic slumber, and he saw that they were still there sleeping. And then he came back to the pasture grounds, and he saw those same boys were still playing with Lord Sri Krishna. Back and forth he went, and he became terribly confused. And of course, as we know, confusion in this world is a source of great suffering. When one is confused and bewildered, this is one of the most miserable conditions of life. Mental pain is more painful than physical pain. The proof is, one who is in utter distress oftentimes commits suicide. How many times in history do we find in the records that people commit suicide due to physical pain? Somehow or other, people can always tolerate it, no matter how bad the physical pain is. But we find that practically every suicide is due to mental pain. When someone's mind is in such confusion, bewilderment, and distress that they cannot even live. So Lord Brahmaji was in great mental distress because he was confused, he was bewildered, he lost all his composure. Similarly, we find in the Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna, when he was in a bewildered and a confused state of mental distress, physically he was very strong and healthy, but there were tears rolling from his eyes, his complexion became white. He could not hold his bow, he was shaking, his hairs were standing on end, his mouth was dry. In this condition, he turned to Krishna and said, Krishna, I surrender. Karapanya doso bahatasva bhava prishchamitam dharma samuta cheha. Yat strayascha nishchitam bruhitam me shishyasti ham sarimam tvam papanam. I have lost all composure due to weakness. I do not know what is to be done, what is not to be done. In this condition of life, I surrender to you. You are my guru, I am your disciple. Now you please instruct me, I do not know. So when Lord Brahma was in this condition, at that time, to make matters even more confusing, Lord Sri Krishna, by his divine potency, each and every cowherd boy and each and every cow or calf transformed into a form of Narayan, the Lord of Vaikuntha. And around each one of those Narayans was all the great sages and all the great demigods offering prayers and worship. And when Lord Brahma saw this, he was utterly confused. Although he was so great, he could not contain himself. And at that time, when Krishna saw that he was at the ultimate extent of mental bewilderment, then the whole scene disappeared, and all that was left was little tiny Krishna standing with a lump of food in his hand looking for his friends. Just as an innocent child. At that time, Lord Brahma, he realized that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Almighty. And with his golden crown, he placed upon Krishna's lotus feet. He said, Krishna, I thought I was very great. Just like a glowworm, a firefly in the night thinks he is very, very powerful in how much light he is emanating. And amongst other fireflies, the firefly is boasting, I can give more light than you. And the other fireflies are very envious, thinking, if only I could have as much light as him. And the other fireflies are telling their friends, actually, he's not giving off that much light. It may appear that way, but actually he's not. Actually, he's a rascal. Whatever light he's getting, actually, he stole it from me. Huh? So there are envy. There is envy amongst fireflies. There's competition amongst fireflies. There's so much pride. But then, in the morning, when the sun rises, nobody could even see the light of the firefly. It is so insignificant. So Lord Brahma was explaining that forgetting you, Krishna, I was thinking I was great. But in your presence, I am like a firefly before the sun. I am nothing. I am insignificant. Now what is Brahma's position compared to ours? His one day is something like 311 billion years. He lives for trillions and trillions of years. You may have a family of 2-3 children, or you may have a family of 5 children, and you may think, I'm maintaining them very nice. But Lord Brahma, every living creature on this earth is his child. His children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and so on. You may think you have a nice house, that you have done good work to establish. But Lord Brahma, in Brahma Loka, it is the most magnificent, luxurious, and opulent of all planets in the universe. He has created all the planets in this universe and all species of life within it. There is no one that compares to him. And he is considering himself a firefly compared to the son of Krishna. And yet we are thinking we are very great. We only think we're great when we forget Krishna. As soon as you see Krishna, you think he's great. As soon as you forget Krishna, you want to become great. So therefore, Lord Brahma, in this condition of utter humility, he offered this prayer to Krishna. Tathenukam pam sushumikshamano bhunjana evatma pritam vipagam haridvagva purvir vidadam namaste jivetaya mukti pade sadaya bhag. He is explaining who is qualified for liberation. There is only one person that is qualified to be liberated. And that is a person who in the most distressful and suffering conditions of life, when they come upon him, that person with a gracious heart folds his palm and offers his obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and says, "Thank you very much, my dear Lord. This is just what I need. It is by your mercy that I am in this condition of life. It is all due to my previous activities that any suffering comes upon me. And by your divine arrangement, you are just giving me a small sample of what I deserve. Because in that condition, I can thank you from the bottom of my heart and surrender to your lotus feet." If a person is not willing and ready to offer his obeisances with a heart full of gratitude to Krishna in the most distressful and suffering conditions of life, he is not fit for liberation. And until you come to that platform, you will never attain pure Krishna consciousness. So, how in the world can we be thankful in conditions of distress? First of all, know that as long as you are in this material world, conditions of a distress will come upon you. You cannot avoid it. You can try. But Krishna says in Gita, Abrama bhuvana loka punaravatana arjuna mamupetitu kondaya punarajanmana vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, they are all places of misery. Because repeated birth and death take place everywhere. Mam upetya punarajanma dukalayam ashashvatam napnavanti mahatmana samsidim paramam gatha. The wise souls, they know that this material world is a miserable place by nature because everything is temporary. The eternal soul can never find peace, real peace, in the temporary existence of this world. So therefore, first we must understand it is the nature of this place that we are living in, that it is a place of dualities where there is happiness and distress, pleasure and pain, honor and dishonor. But we must understand the source of this material existence. Janmadhyasayatta. The source of everything is God, the Absolute Truth. Janmadhyasayatta, in Bhagavatam it says, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmadhyasayatta. That I offer obeisances to Vasudev, the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, because he is that cause of all causes. He is him from whom everything emanates. And Krishna confirms this in Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mat sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mambudha bhava samanvita. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my loving service and worship me with all their hearts. So everything is coming from Krishna. Sarvakarana karana means he is the cause of all causes. He's not only the cause of the things you like, he is the cause of everything. And it is explained in Ishopanishad, Om Purnam Adapurnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnam Ave Purnam Evavashishyate. That the Supreme Absolute Truth, who is the cause of all causes, from whom everything emanates, is perfect and complete. And everything emanating from him is perfect and complete. And not a blade of grass moves without his sanction. Therefore, everything that is happening is perfect and complete if you see its relationship to Krishna. Therefore, whatever comes upon us, we should know is God's grace. It is coming by his divine arrangement upon us. This verse by Lord Brahma is explaining that whatever suffering condition comes into our life, whatever reversals, we know it's due to our own past karma. And Krishna, by his mercy, is giving it to us for our purification. So therefore, what crazy person will blame the circumstances or the environment around him for what is his fault? This is the nature of a conditioned soul who is insincere about trying to make spiritual advancement. He's very quick to blame others. He's very quick to justify his predicament of life by blaming it upon either other persons or material circumstances. I'll give you an example. If a carpenter makes a mistake, does he blame his tools? Huh? If you hire a carpenter and he destroys your house, does he say, well, don't blame me, it's the fault of my tools? Will you accept that? That means he is crazy. But I'll give another example. When you pass stool, is it a nice thing? Not a very nice thing. For the hogs, it's a very nice thing. But for you, hopefully it's not a very nice thing. Now, do you blame the stool? Do you blame the stool for not being nice? The fact is, the stool is born because you have eaten. It's a product of what you have done. So do you blame the fact that you have eaten, or do you blame the stool? You must blame the fact that you have eaten, because you are the cause of it. So the laws of material nature is whatever you do, there will be an effect. But the cause of that effect is your activities, based on your desires. So therefore, a devotee who is sincere about Krishna consciousness never blames anything or anyone for what comes upon him. He takes a very humble position and accepts that this is the reactions of my activities. And Krishna is so merciful that he is putting me in this condition for my purification. And Lord Brahma says, unless you're willing to see life like this, until you're willing to see life like this, you are not qualified for Krishna consciousness. And as soon as you can see things like this, on the basis of your desire, then life becomes blissful. then you attain peace in all circumstances. You become fearless. And in this condition, we can create a sense of harmony amongst each other. Huh? What is the greatest cause of disunity? The greatest cause of disunity is false pride, ahankar, ego. We want to think that we are very nice, we are very great. We want to think that we are very expert. And we want to think that we are the enjoyers. When there is a predicament of life that is impeding my sense gratification, impeding my development of greater and greater false ego, then what happens is we became very anxious to blame another, to condemn another, to justify our weaknesses by pointing toward another. Because we are discontent in a humble position, we want to attain a bigger position. Therefore, because we become envious of someone who is bigger than us. Huh? Isn't this the cause of practically all disunity? It is because we are not humble enough to just thank Krishna for the position that we're in. And understand it is the result of our own past karma. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling through the Jarikanda forest, he very practically demonstrated to us how we can overcome all these differences of karma, which is manifested through our ego. It is by unifying on the basis of the chanting of the holy name. It is described by the great acharyas that there is only one place where there is complete harmony in this entire creation. And that is where people are gathered together to glorify the Lord's name and qualities. Yatre, it is described in the third canto of Bhagavad that the great souls, they gather together to discuss and chant the glories of the Lord. And as long as they are engaged in this process with sincere hearts, there is no envy or competition amongst them. But there is peace, there is harmony. But as soon as the subject matter changes, we are potentially envious of even the nearest and dearest one in our life. We are quick to blame them and hate them, rather than accept the blame upon ourselves. One who has a pure heart puts all blame upon himself, considers, I deserve so much worse. Therefore, such a great soul has no time to defend himself. He's too busy glorifying Krishna. This takes place amongst one another when we put the name of God first. It does not matter how degraded and fallen our condition of consciousness may be. Sometimes we may think that I'm a lost cause. maybe for some few great souls in the Shastras and the scriptures, they can attain perfection by seeing according to this vision, but not me. My heart is so filled with pride and envy and lust and greed that I'm defeated again and again and again. In fact, I am like an animal. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown us how even if you are an animal, all animosity between you and the other animals will be gone as soon as you make the name of Krishna the center of your relationship. You see, Krishna is in the heart of every living being. Lord Chaitanya, when he was traveling through Jarikanda forest, he saw a tiger laying in the road. And he placed his foot on that tiger's head. And he began to chant the holy names. And that tiger, who was normally the most vicious creature of the earth, he raised his arms and began to chant the holy names in love of God. He gave up all his sense of cruelty and violence and became a pure Vaishnava. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then took bath in lake and he saw a herd of elephants. Elephants are the most dangerous of all animals in the jungle. A tiger can kill a few people. A serpent can kill a few people. But a herd of mad elephants can destroy an entire town or village within minutes. That is why an offense to a great soul is called the mad elephant offense. It is not called a mad tiger offense, or a mad wolf offense, or a mad cobra offense. It's called a mad elephant offense. Why? Because there is nothing more dangerous than a mad elephant. A mad elephant within minutes can destroy your home, your garden, your whole family, you, and everything else that's taken you all your life to build up. So Lord Chaitanya was amidst an entire herd of mad elephants. Was he fearful? He understood that God, his parts and parcels, is within every heart, even of the mad elephants. Therefore, he was not afraid. He splashed them with water. And he told them to chant Krishna, Krishna. And they began to dance in ecstasy, crying out Krishna, Krishna. And as they were dancing, tears were flowing from their eyes, and they fell to the ground and began to roll in the ground in ecstasy, screaming in divine bliss. And then as he was dancing along the forest pathway, he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then beautiful deer began to follow him. And as he was walking, tigers began to follow him. Now generally, in the forest, deers and tigers are worst enemies. Why? Because the tiger wants to eat the deer. And the deer wants to stay away from the tiger. They are very violent toward one another. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought them together with the holy name of Krishna, those deers who are normally the most inimical and hateful of all creatures toward one another, they began to embrace with tears of love in their eyes, and they began to kiss one another on the lips, each tiger with a deer, dancing together. How is that possible? This is the power of the name of God. This is the unifying power of Krishna in the form of his name. And in this age of Kali Yuga, this is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. There's endless quarrel and there's endless hypocrisy amongst practically everyone, because everyone is so anxious to blame others. Everyone is so reluctant to take the humble position. That is the reason for all quarrel and hypocrisy. But the name of God purifies the heart and unifies us in that humble position that I am your servant. The pure state of the soul is that Jivara Swarupoi Krishna Nitya Das, we are the eternal servants of Krishna. And how do we serve Krishna? Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayor Das Dasanu Das, by becoming the servant of his servants and his servants. This is the natural state of the soul that is awakened through the process of the chanting of the holy name. Therefore, when Krishna becomes the unifying element between us, then there is real intimacy. There is love. There is trust. There is the feeling of the desire to be the humble servant. And that is Krishna consciousness. Nothing else is Krishna consciousness. Everything else is illusion until we attain that state. And if devotees cannot attain that state amongst each other, how is it possible for them to spread the glories of the Lord to the rest of the world? You see, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was playing the role of a devotee, although he was God himself. And because he personally was experiencing the harmony and the peace derived from the chanting of the holy name, therefore he was able to even create that atmosphere amongst the most deadly, inimical animals of the forest. The acharyas tell us that you may not be able to imitate Lord Chaitanya. You may not be able to go into the forest and get the tigers and the deers to dance, embrace one another in love. But at least you can try to create this atmosphere amongst human beings. At least you can begin by creating this atmosphere in love and trust, based on the glorification of God, the humble service of God amongst devotees. Mach chitta mat kata prana bodhi anta parastaram kati antascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. The devotees, Krishna says, of me, they derive great satisfaction and bliss conversing about me and enlightening one another about me. That peace, that bliss, is derived from love, love and trust and harmony. We should know that as a servant who actually has feeling for the master, we should be willing to do anything or everything to put ourselves second to help another make advancement in spiritual life. That is the quality of a preacher. We may know the philosophy very nicely, but that is not the quality of a real preacher. That is a preliminary, external quality. We may be very convincing in our arguments. We may be very austere in our lifestyle. We may be very strict in following every detail of the principles of sadhana. These are all simply also preliminary qualifications of a good preacher. A real preacher is one who is willing to put himself last and put all others first. Therefore, in the service of others, we are willing to endure great pain and suffering to help them make spiritual advancement. We are willing to be abused, misused, misunderstood, anything to help elevate others. That is the natural quality of the soul. And some of us may think, well, what is he talking to me about this? I'm a grihastha. Maybe sannyasis, they should be like this, but grihastha, I have a family to take care of. How am I supposed to be like this? The fact it is the duty of every human being to be like this. You may think it's very far away, but it's as close as your own soul. These qualities, they are within your soul. But we have to make our priorities in life. We should not be attracted by the glittering objects of this world. We should only be attracted by the substance, the essence of Krishna consciousness. There is a story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami refers to a particular story that is found in the ancient Puranas. Very instructive story. It's a story about a Brahmin who was diseased with leprosy. And he had a most chaste and faithful wife. She was always very, very anxious to please him and to serve him. And she loved her husband so much that she did not care what abuse or inconvenience she had to go through to make him happy. She was a very beautiful woman. She was coming from the most aristocratic Brahmin family. And yet she was the servant of this leper. He was in such a diseased condition he could not even bathe himself. Every day she would take him to the river and give him a bath. So one day, while they were by this river, there was a very, very beautiful prostitute who was also taking her bath nearby. I believe her name was Lakshahira. She was very beautiful. And after the bath, the wife took her husband back home and was trying to make him very happy. And she saw that his mind was in very great distress. So she asked him, "My dear husband, what is wrong? How can I make you happy? Is there some reason for your distress?" He said, "Yes, there's a very great reason for my distress." He said, "You remember that beautiful prostitute? I am so much attracted to her that I cannot get her out of my mind for even a second. saw his wife with tears in her eyes. She said, "My dear husband, you want this prostitute?" He said, "I'm afraid to say, yes, I do." She said, "All right, I will do the best I can." She had no money. They were poor Brahmins. She went to the house of that prostitute, where there was many others living as well, like her. And she began every day to clean every room and every aspect of the house, very, very meticulously. And after several weeks, people began to ask, this woman began to ask, "Why is the house so clean? It's never been so clean before." And the other ladies who were hired to clean, they see this one Brahmin lady, she cleans every day, she will not let us do anything. She will not accept any payment. And she will not even allow anyone to help her. So that woman, that prostitute, called the Brahmin lady. Said, "What payment do you want? You're making us so satisfied by your service." She said, "I want no payment. But my husband wants to be with you. But we have no money." So this prostitute said, "All right, you and your husband come tomorrow night for dinner." She said, "Thank you very much." So the leper Brahmin and his wife, they came the next night for dinner. And this prostitute made a very wonderful feast. There were two sections of this feast. On one side, she served very, very nice, simple prasad. That prasad was on a simple plantain leaf, and there was Ganges water in a clay cup. And on the other side, there was pure bowls and plates made out of silver and gold. And in it was very, very rich preparations, each one made out of meat. Very opulent. So she told the Brahmin, "You take your choice. But this one, the silver and gold plates and bowls with very, very opulent ghee-soaked meat dishes, or do you want this simple prasad on the plantain leaf?" He said, "I will take the prasad, because I'm a Brahmin. How can I eat those other things?" So he ate the prasad. It was very satisfied. And after he completely ate the prasad, this prostitute looked at him and she said, "Ah." He said, "Your wife, she is like this prasad on the plantain leaf. She is very sattvic. She is very simple to look at, but she's very pure at heart." She said, "Me, I am like the meat dishes in the gold and silver bowls. I may look very luxurious and very beautiful, but inside I'm simply rajasic and tamasic. I'm very contaminated." So she said, "So why have you come here for me? Obviously, this is not material opulence and enjoyment, but inside is nothing but a suffering condition of bondage." When the Brahmin heard this, he became enlightened. He lost all his desire to enjoy this prostitute. He lost all his attachment for everything of the glitter of this world. This world has a glitter that is attracting us. It is a phantasmagoria. But a devotee who has wisdom who understands the truth, knows.
Yehi samsparshacha bhoga dukha jonaya evate adyanta vanta kontiya nateshu ramate buddha.
That whatever appears to be pleasurable in this world, pain is deeply seated at the core of it. Huh? Therefore, a devotee looks from within. He does not judge things by the external appearance. Therefore, Krishna consciousness means to analyze and appreciate the substance within, not the external form. And that was the lesson that was taught to this leper Brahman. The prostitute is saying, I'm very beautiful, but what's within my heart? And your wife may be very simple, but what is within her heart? And the Brahman became so thankful. With folded hands, he said, my dear Mataji, you are my guru. Thank you very much. Krishna is speaking through you. So, it is our great duty to learn to see beyond the glitter of this material existence and to create a sense of love and trust amongst one another on the basis of the real substance of humility. And that is why this verse by Lord Brahmaji from the Srimad Bhagavatam is most important to understand. Tathenukam pam susamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vibhagam hridvagvapur bir vidadam namaste jivetiyam mukti pade sadaya. That one who is humble enough to accept misery, accept physical suffering, mental suffering, accept abuse, misuse, disease, whatever comes upon us as the results of my own sinful reactions. There's no one else to blame except me. And Krishna, who is perfect and complete, he is arranging this whole concept of the laws of karma simply for our purification. Nothing happens without the will of the Lord. He is perfect and complete, therefore every situation that I am facing is perfect and complete for me. Therefore, let me thank Krishna for this arrangement. Let me remember him with love in this arrangement. Let me never again accuse or try to justify by blaming others any of my own inadequacies, any of my own problems in life. There's only one problem. That we are forgetting that Krishna is perfect and everything happening by his arrangement is perfect and everything is happening by his arrangement without exception. To the minutest detail, nothing can take place anywhere within all of creation without the sanction of God. As soon as we recognize that, as soon as we look for Krishna, we will find Krishna. If you look for fault, you'll find fault. It does not take a great man to find faults. Any common man can find faults wherever he looks. It takes a great man to see the good quality of another. And it takes the greatest man to see the will of God manifesting through every circumstance of his life. And God is all merciful and he is all perfect. That is our faith, because that is the truth. So Krishna consciousness is very natural and it is very simple, providing we look for Krishna everywhere. In the Bible, Lord Jesus Christ says, "Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will open." If you're looking for Krishna, you'll find Krishna. He will reveal himself to you. If you're looking for faults, Krishna will reveal faults to you. Even if the person is faultless, Krishna is perfect and complete. But for Shishupal, he was nothing but false. Shishupal, he could not count the innumerable faults in Krishna. His mind was simply finding one fault after another 24 hours a day. Why? Because he wanted to see faults, Krishna was revealing to him faults. It wasn't Shishupal's power to find fault. Krishna says, Sarvasya chaham hridi shanivishtam atasmatir jnanam apohanam cha. He's the source of knowledge, forgetfulness, and remembrance. You cannot find a fault in anyone without the help of God. You cannot think without the help of God. You cannot breathe without the help of God. But if you want to find fault, Krishna will show you faults, either in him or in any of his parts and parcels. And if you want to see his glory, he will reveal his glory to you through everything and everyone. Huh? And the greatest opportunity is the time of suffering. If you look for Krishna in a humble state of mind, in time of suffering, you will become a liberated soul. So this sublime consciousness we should aspire for. And if we aspire for something, we must be willing to work for that thing. And the process of attaining this divine consciousness is to create the atmosphere of love and trust amongst each other by putting the name of God always between us. Therefore, the process in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only process for self-realization, is Sankirtan. There are two types of kirtan. They are both essential. But it is said, Jagyai Sankirtana Puriyai. Krishna Varnam Vasa Krishnam Sangopanga Shaparishnam Jagyai Sankirtana Puriyai. Sankirtan means congregationally chanting the holy name amongst others. Coming together to glorify God. Japa is the essential method of purifying our own individual consciousness. But the specific method to counteract the effects of Kali Yuga, which means quarrel and hypocrisy amongst each other, is Sankirtan, to come together in congregation to chant the names of God. Now, there may be different ways, according to different styles and traditions. That is not very important. That is external. But the principle of coming together, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would congregate hundreds and thousands of people sometimes and have them all with their arms raised chanting the holy names and dancing. He would even get the animals to raise their arms and dance and chant. So therefore,
Krishna Varnam Sa Krishnam Jivyai Sankirtana Prayaya Janti Hi Sumedh.
Those who have sufficient intelligence in this age of Kali Yuga, they come together and harmonize and dispel all differences due to ego through the simple process of congregationally chanting the holy names of God. And then this verse by Lord Brahma, Tathena kampam sushamikshe mano bunjana evatma kritam vipagam vidbhagva burbir vidhidam namaste jiveti mukta padesa vayo.
Then we can understand through realization its true significance. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. In this spirit, let us take prasad together. Six intimacies amongst devotees, six forms of love that is shared amongst devotees, to give gift and receive gift, to very sincerely reveal one's mind in confidence and to hear another's mind in confidence with patience and compassion, to give prasad and to receive prasad. So with the name of Hari, dancing from our lips, let us together honor Krishna's